21 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, as promised, with one of the leading presidential candidates for the Republican nomination. Well, at least if you believe the Koch brothers, he is. And believe the polls. His name is Rand Paul. He's the junior senator from Kentucky. Senator Paul, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael, and welcome back to the air.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for sending me a personal note, which meant a lot when I went into the hospital for the beginning of my cancer treatment, and it's a pleasure to speak with you now. Baltimore is dominating the headlines. The headline in USA Today, Baltimore Burning. I want to get your reaction and also hear, if we had a president, Rand Paul, what would America be doing differently to avoid this kind of horrible, horrible incident as has been occurring in Baltimore?
You know, the images are horrifying. I came through the train last night through Baltimore, but didn't necessarily see this. But the images are horrifying, and, you know, the sort of the cornerstone of civilization is law and order, and you just can't have this lawlessness. And I'm not sure if it was the mayor basically sort of having the police stand down or having them stand back that let this get out of hand. But it's also very sad to see people burning their own stores, many of them owned by minorities, burning a senior senator, a senior center where you know, their elderly stay. The best stores in the neighborhood are destroyed now, and really just injuring both their neighbors and their families by this you know, thuggish behavior.
What could a different presidential administration do to avoid this kind of horrible disaster?
Well, I think it's more of a, you know, a local city problem than it is a federal problem. I think the president can be a leader, and I think there are times in which, you know, the National Guard is called in, but that's usually by the governor and not the president. But I think the president can be a role model in talking about and saying that we have to have order in our country and there's no excuse for this. And really the type of behavior is just, like I say, there can't be any kind of excuses made for thieves and robbers and muggers out roaming, you know, through the streets creating chaos. You have to have law and order. And the best way is to make sure that people know that if they do that, they will be arrested and they will be prevented. But in a situation like this, you have to have a significant police force out there that's preventing people from stealing.
I think that just about everybody would agree with you on that. You have been very outspoken about Hillary Clinton and the charges in the new book, Clinton Cash. We're going to be speaking later today with Peter Schweitzer, the author of that book. And there's some of your fellow Republicans, like Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, have said, wait, hold on, don't jump to conclusions, don't be too harsh on Hillary. Are you being too harsh on Hillary?
I think there's a constellation of facts. There's a consistency of actions that make us question her trustworthiness. And the things are pretty alarming which are coming forward. One, that a uranium company that mines 20% of the uranium in our country, that the sale of this company was approved by Hillary Clinton to the Russians. The Russians now own a company, a uranium company that mines 20% of our uranium. This was approved by Hillary Clinton at the same time that her foundation received over $145 million in donations. That's very troubling and goes to the heart of the matter of whether or not, you know, her positions are for sale. We're very clear in the Constitution that when you hold higher office, you cannot take gifts from foreign countries. And she may say, well, this is a foundation, not her personally, but they put her up, they allow her to travel, they've employed vast numbers of Clinton operatives that go from the campaign to the foundation back and forth. And meanwhile, her husband taking tens of millions of dollars in speaking fees, sometimes speaking to people who are advocating for sales, like the bank that was advocating for the sale of this uranium company is a Russian bank that paid Bill Clinton to speak. There's another instance that's come forward in the news today that Schweitzer points out in his book, where a legislator, Amar Singh, in India, lobbied the Clintons to get a nuclear deal, which she was initially opposed to, but after he gave $5 million to the Clinton Foundation, suddenly her opposition to the nuclear deal with India seemed to change. And can you prove any of this? that it was quid pro quo. Maybe not, but it seems to be very, very suspicious, this behavior, and unseemly. And really, they shouldn't be taking foreign donations, and I think they should return the foreign donations.
One of the things, Senator Paul, that is one of Hillary's proudest accomplishments as Secretary of State was the reset with Russia. Does the United States have a stake? Should the United States take a policy against Vladimir Putin attacking Ukraine?
Absolutely. I think the sovereignty of Ukraine or the sovereignty of any country should be defended by the international community. We had an agreement, the Budapest Agreement from the 90s, with Russia, with Ukraine, and with others to say that Russia would respect the sovereignty of the nation in order for Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons. And so, yeah, this is incredibly disappointing, and I've supported sanctions against Russia, and I think Russia needs to get a loud message that if they want to be part of the free trading world that creates and allows benefits for all nations, if they want to be part of that civilized world, they're going to have to act in a civilized way.
Arms to Ukraine?
You know, I think that the discussion has been mostly defensive arms, and I think at the very least the threat of sending arms needs to be out there to see if the Russians are willing to negotiate and scale this down. So, yes, arms needs to be on the table.
You spoke yesterday to a collection of Orthodox Jewish educators, rabbis, leaders, political leaders. Do you feel that the Jewish community is getting a better understanding that you're not your father and that you're not some kind of opponent of the State of Israel?
Well, we've spent, you know, the last 4 years in office getting to know members in the Jewish community, but really a lot of members in the Orthodox community, and they've been very, very friendly to supporting, you know, the trip when I went to Israel and also introducing me to people as we've traveled the country. And the one thing about the Orthodox community that I think makes it very easy for me to find kinship is they're very family-oriented. I like the traditions of the Orthodox, how they respect their elders, respect their parents, and feel like there's wisdom that is passed down from generation to generation. And I share also their belief that Israel is an important ally and the one sort of democracy or shining light in the Middle East towards freedom. And so I think we have a lot in common. One of the things that I promoted in the last year that they're very supportive of is the Stand with Israel Act that says that as long as Hamas is joined in a unity government with the Palestinian Authority, that we shouldn't be sending them taxpayer dollars, because directly or even indirectly, some of those dollars from America could be used to buy missiles that are attacking Israel.
You'll find a lot of support there from all friends of Israel, Jewish and Christian alike. That's Senator Rand Paul, junior senator from Kentucky, presidential candidate. We will get your response on the situation in Baltimore and any of the comments by Senator Paul coming right up.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.